welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. It's Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here today with our producer, chairman of the boards, Jacob. Jacob, how you doing?
Johnny, I'm great. I'm excited to be here. I was worried that if Tim was here with us, that would be three professors. I'd be uncomfortable. I'm more comfortable with just two, so I think things are going to work out just fine.
Well, we never want to overemphasize the educated educators bit, but we're always excited to have fellow educators on the show. And boy, do we have a great guest here with us today. I'm just going to jump right into introducing him briefly, and then let's dive into a little bit of the story of our guest here. Today with us on Busted Pencils, we have Dr. Jonathan Shaler, right from the University of Wisconsin Parkside. So local guy for a lot of our listeners. This is exciting. He is the director of the Certificate Program in Conflict Analysis and Resolution and the Shakespeare Prison Project. And his teaching and research focus on language and social interaction, storytelling, dialogue, and performance for personal and social transformation. Man, we are in good company. Dr. Shaler, thanks for joining us here today. And just a little bit I've learned about you. I'm pretty excited to have you here, man. So for our listeners, if you can, take a moment and tell us a little bit more about you and about how you got to this exciting Shakespeare Prison Project.
Well, sure. And thanks so much for having me as a guest. This is a lot of fun. Jacob is a former student of mine, and that's kind of cool. So that's how we made the connection. So, I guess what I want to tell you is that I've been a theater geek all my life. It started because my parents were very demonstrative people, and my mother had done theater. She was lived in New York City, and she was on radio there. She was a Shirley Temple lookalike and performed in the New York City World's Fair in 1939. So the family legacy goes way back. And when I was just a kid, I was so much itching to perform that I worked with my brothers and sisters to create a Marx Brothers act. I was Groucho. My brother was Chico. My other brother was Harpo. And our sister was the foil. We played against her and had a lot of fun doing that. I mean, we did the makeup, the costumes. I typed up scripts and we took off. After that, it was high school theater, college theater. And then I got interested in communication. That's why I'm a communication professor, because I want, you know, to take this bigger perspective on life that looks at all of life as communication. That would be what we're doing right now. That would be theater. That would be everything. That's what makes us human, is our ability to interact with each other and to make sense of things. And I also was very interested in working with conflict because I saw it all around me, and I just wanted to help people find more constructive ways to deal with conflict. So those two things really are my main interests, and the communication and dealing with conflict and theater. And the two of these things come together in my work, and they have in many ways over the years. When I began work in prisons way back in 1995, if you can believe it, I started doing something called Theater of Empowerment, which was about getting the guys to act out scenes from their lives and to explore the issues that way and to experiment with different ways of responding to conflict. And then I met a woman named Agnes Wilcox at a conference. She runs or did run the Prison Performing Arts in St. Louis, Missouri, and she had done Hamlet down there. I heard about this on Ira Glass's This American Life on NPR, and I asked to have lunch with her. She was more than welcoming, and she told me how she did it. And it excited me because I've been a fan of Shakespeare all my life, and it never occurred to me before that moment that I could or even consider doing Shakespeare plays in a prison. But she was doing it, and she encouraged me to do the same. And I thought, yeah, let's do this. And I got started in 2004 is when the Shakespeare kicked in, and we've been doing it ever since. We're still doing it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Dr. Shea, thanks for sharing the backstory. I think that's always so fun to hear, like how we become the people we are, and mm-hmm. and our, like, our interests, our passion, how we teach, the research we do. It converges on these mm-hmm. exciting projects. And, you know, tell us a little bit more about the Shakespeare Prison Project, right? It's pretty remarkable. I've been reading about it since Jacob shared it with me, and you know, so excited for you to share that with our listeners. So the Shakespeare Prison Project, Dr. Shaler, tell us about it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's evolved over the years, but the basic thing is that we study, we discuss, we rehearse, and then we perform Shakespeare plays. Sometimes we do a 9-month process. Sometimes we do a 3-month process. Both of those work. And what I found was that the guys were really excited about the characters, the themes, the stories. We started out with King Lear, and that's a family drama in some ways. It's a really scary, dysfunctional family where a father is being very manipulative with his daughters, and they are very divided against each other, and the whole thing is a real mess. And then it expands into a political conflict, so connecting the personal to the political. And these guys just really dove in. Now, when you ask what is it really about, it's not just about studying Shakespeare and putting on plays, which is a lot of fun, and it's a good thing to be doing, other than rotting behind bars, to make good use of your time, to keep your mind and your heart and your social skills awake mm-hmm. and alive. And really, you know, I guess I just told you what it's about. It's about doing all of those things, and it's about self-awareness. It's about developing communication skills. It's about developing empathy for mm-hmm. others. And I could tell a million stories about that.
Well, but I might ask you a couple of those stories, Dr. Shaler, but I have a question, because as I was reading about it and then chatting with our chairman of the board, Jacob, about it, he said, you know, one of the exciting things about his experience with it was being able to be a student who was involved in it. So thinking about, like, us professors, like, we're teachers, and a lot of you listeners out there are teachers, some in higher education, some in elementary schools, lots of you in high schools out there. That's the ones I hear the most from. I feel like high school teachers listening to a lot of civic media. But nonetheless, Dr. Shaler, can you talk about like the partnership here, like the whole layers of where there's, like, who's involved? It's not just you and some incarcerated folks performing Shakespeare.
Okay, well, you know, there's the people in the Department of Corrections who are involved, and then there's outside artists who are involved, and then there's friends and family members who are involved. Mm-hmm. So to pick up one of the most important pieces, when the guys perform, they have the opportunity to perform for an inside audience, other prisoners, and then they have an opportunity to perform in the visiting room for their family, their friends, and invited members of the community. And that's really a special event, because then they feel like they're being seen as real people, that in a way they're being welcomed back into the community prior to, you know, their actual release. It gives them a sense of hope and possibility. So that layer is very important. And then I have brought guest artists in to a significant degree, fight coordinators, theater professors who have their own exercises and ways of exploring text and movement and so on. I've had professional costumers build costumes for us. University of Wisconsin Parkside has also provided us with costumes. And the Department of Corrections has been very supportive. It's been challenging because it poses a lot of challenges to the security of the prison. Mm-hmm. And they you know, need to be able to do this in a way that maintains appropriate boundaries, and that with all this stuff coming in and going out, that no contraband is being filtered through that and so on. So I work very closely with the education director and the security director to make sure things go well.
I have a question, yeah. Professor Shaler. I'm thinking yeah. about this. Now that you have this experience putting this production on and you have mm-hmm. the proven results that it has positive benefits, it's mm-hmm. an easier sell. But when you came into this starting out, was that a hard conversation? I mean, how did you get buy-in from the prison system to let you try this and get to the point where you have these positive results?
Yeah. That first year, I was very lucky. The stars aligned is the way I look at it. Number one, you know, personnel in the prison setting, they rotate through pretty rapidly compared to people in other professions. They don't usually stick in their positions for too long. And I just happened to catch them at a time when the education director was an unusually progressive and forward-looking and creative person who was like, Shakespeare? Yeah, let's look at that. You want to do that? Whip up a proposal. Well, we'll sell it to the warden. And she worked very closely. Her name is Jean Timmy, by the way. She deserves a shout out. She still lives in Wisconsin. And she helped me develop a proposal that and gave me guidelines, you know, good guidance on how to set something up that would be welcomed by the institution. For example, aligning with institution objectives mm-hmm. and making sure that that was clear. So that was the one first piece of good luck. And then the second piece of good luck, which kind of accelerated our welcome, I guess you could say, is that there was at the time a media specialist working at the university, and his name is Dave Buchanan. Shout out to Dave Buchanan. He had some contacts and he had some ways of promoting activities that were related to the university. And somehow he connected with the Midwest bureau chief of the New York Times, who was in Chicago. And her name at that time, well, her name is Judy Rudoran. She changed her name at one point. But anyway, Judy Rudoran was interested and they took on the story. And we made the front page of the New York Times. Our first production. So I mentioned that because the media attention elevated, you know, corrections is mostly bad news when they're in the news. And so the fact that this came out and gave them so much positive attention was a really good thing and gave us a huge burst of energy and support right there at the beginning. And then Wisconsin Public Radio came in and that also helped. And so you're asking how we got going and how we got buy-in. It was both the institution, Jean Timmy, and also a bit of luck with the publicity, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I love hearing these stories and, you know, teachers out there, when you're thinking about these really cool ways to connect what we're teaching about, or if you're a researcher and you're working, you know, in higher education, the ways that our research interests both connect to our teaching and to what mm-hmm. we give to the community, you mm-hmm. know, and Dr. Shaler, you're describing, you know, really thoughtfully here, and I appreciate you sharing mm-hmm. it, the complexities of partnership. Mm-hmm. Right. And you talk about this in your work, community dialogue and the levels of communication required through community dialogue to have yeah. partnerships, that they start somewhere and they grow and they grow. So I'm going to take you up on that offer to ask you questions about stories. Do you have a particular story that stands out to you from the Shakespeare Project that kind of embodies that partnership growth, that community dialogue aspect that you're describing?
Well, as I mentioned, there are so many. I think one thing that's very special is when there's a talk back, and we always make time for that between the actors and the audience, whether it's an inside audience or invited guests. And I remember the year that we did The Tempest, there was a young man in the cast who played Ferdinand, the young lover. He was a prince. And his daughter was in the audience, and she had not seen, she was young. I believe she was, I won't put an age on it because I don't know the exact age, but she was a young girl, and she had not seen her father for 5 years. And she had never seen her father not wearing prison greens, because she was born when he was in prison. And so for the very first time, she saw him dressed well and performing in a play and acting in an elevated way. And I just remember how they ran into each other's arms after the play, how moving that was. And I asked her, what did you think of your dad up there? And she said, my daddy's a prince. Mm. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yeah, I'm getting a little choked up here because I mean, that's like, you spoke about the humanity aspect of this and the opportunity that it invites all participants to remember that humanity. And in the ways that I'll just say it, like my perspective on it, that our prison system often takes away from people here in this country, strips them of their humanity in many ways. And we don't need to get into it this show. It's like we're focused on a little something different, but I appreciate that about this work and that story. Because maybe listener out there like us, you may have a loved one who's incarcerated, or you most certainly may know someone with a family member incarcerated, or can imagine if your parent, or maybe your parent was, you know, somebody who is in the correctional facilities or incarcerated at this level, to be able to see them in ways that so often, like you said, the prison uniforms, the bars, all of the security, it allows for, like you said, the humanity of it. And that's a beautiful thing. I love that. The other thing I love, Jonathan, or Dr. Shaler, let me call you that.
Jonathan is fine.
All right. Yeah. One of the other things that I was reading about that I just loved was the autobiographical performances as part of it, you know, just as the teacher in me, like thinking about, okay, so this is great. We got, you know, folks performing Shakespeare, learning about it, and all of the research proven value added to like learning Shakespeare. Why do theater? And there's a whole lot of pros to that. But then I was reading about the autobiographical performance piece to it. And it reminded me of a project that a sociologist did called the question bridge, where incarcerated men would pose questions to men not incarcerated and back and forth and create these video dialogues. But I love this idea of autobiographical performance. Can you share, tell us a little bit about that aspect?
Yeah, so we do it in various ways. One way we do it is to create an entire second play based on the responses that the men have to the play that they had just done. So I recall after we did Cymbeline, I believe it was, which is a more rarely produced Shakespeare play, but a wonderful one, one of his romances. The guys wrote stories, shared personal stories based on their response to the play. And one of the guys wrote about, he had played an estranged father in the play, Cymbeline, and he wrote about his difficult relationship with his own daughter. And it was just a very powerful piece because it was focused on a phone call that he had with his daughter where he was trying to connect with her and having difficulty with that. And I think what it did for him was that it allowed him to process that and also to be seen and heard in terms of what was important to him, for us to recognize that, and also for him to feel that he was not alone, because other guys heard that and said, you know, talked about the difficulty of connecting with their children while in prison. So it's that sharing of stories that reminds us of our common humanity that allows us to express empathy to one another, and that can be very healing when mm-hmm. when we're heard with empathy. Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love it, because when you think about it as educators, you know, when we learn to share our story, especially if maybe we're, you know, seen as or believe even that what we have to share is not worth offering, right? Mm-hmm. So there's something really empowering about sharing story. There's something really confidence building about it. There's something more than just acting, and not to say that just acting. I think acting is so important, but the way you're describing it, it's like it's acting, it's being an artist, it's also authoring, and it's yes. those like three A's of it: the acting, right, the acting, the artistry, the authoring. Like, what does it mean to be an author? You know, I love that dimension of it. So it's not just, you know, people incarcerated folks doing plays. That's part of it, which is a beautiful thing for anyone who's acted and been in a play or performed a play, but being able to find oneself within it and connect it to their authoring and sharing their story, right? Yes. I love this. Dr. Shaler, so many things. I bet Jacob might have some questions too, but if you're a listener, you're probably wondering, where can I learn more about this? Like, where, how can I connect? Especially so many local listeners, you know, around there. Jonathan, tell us a little bit more about like how to get involved, where to learn more, just how can a listener connect?
So the most direct way to connect is just to email me with your questions or your interest, and we can take it from there. My email is shailor, I think the name is on the screen, and at UWP, that's for the University of Wisconsin Parkside, uwp.edu. And I will respond, I promise. And also, if you want to look into it, we have a website. Mm-hmm. It's Shakespeare Prison Project. That's all one string and lowercase, obviously, and .com. So shakespeareprisonproject.com.
Johnny, I've got something more to share here at the end of the episode. As we're closing up, I've got a question. And then before that, I'll just have a nice glowing comment for Dr. Please. Shaler. I don't think that anybody who ever left one of his classes left it saying, oh, darn it, I have to do this assignment or I have to do this. It's such a chore to do this stuff. Dr. Shaler, always open, always sharing. We've talked on this show about the teachers that inspire us and why they do so. And part of it that we all agreed on was that when teachers connect with you as a person, they treat you as a partner in your education instead of, you know, as a task they need to fulfill. That's you to a T, sir. So thank you very much. You're my favorite professor I've ever had, and I'm very happy to have you here. With the Shakespeare Prison Project, I hear about three groups of people, and we've talked a lot about one of those groups, which is the prisoners or the incarcerated people, and how this project benefits them. But there's two other groups of people. One of them is your students who help in this, people who come from the outside to help. And then the third would be you as the person putting this together. Could you tell us how the Shakespeare Prison Project benefits those other two groups of people?
Well, sure. I've brought UW Parkside students in, and news headline, I am now a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, so I don't actually have students there right now, but I am an adjunct faculty member for Marquette University, and so I do bring those students in. And I think, very simply, one of the most important thing that happens with bringing students in is that they see what goes on behind prison walls, and they see the humanity of the men that we're working with. That's the biggest thing. And unfailingly, I hear from the students who have come in that they are in awe of the men's honesty, openness, and intelligence, earnestness, and intellectual ability, which is often stunning. And so that's good for them. And then for me, I can't imagine what would my life would be without doing this. This is really at the center of my passion, is working with an underserved community like these incarcerated men. I do similar work with mindfulness meditation. Now I meet with a group in prison through the Wisconsin Prison Mindfulness Initiative. And I've also worked at Racine Youthful Offender Correctional Facility, where I tried a course called Shakespeare for the Soul, and I'm kind of tinkering with that one to see what shape it might take the next time around. But for me, it's the thing that's most important about teaching is service to the community. And this is, to me, the most powerful way that I can deliver that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dr. Shaler. Sure. For me, just saying, I'm a big fan, so thank you for being here. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker tasked me with bringing cool guests on the show. So I've been working on Matt Damon's mom and you. So far, I've got you.
Wow.
So I feel good about the future prospects. I'm 50, yeah. Hitting 500 here. And awesome. Johnny, it's your stage.
It. Yeah, I love it. Well, you came in with a slam dunk on this one, Jacob. Thanks for bringing Dr. Shaler to Busted Pencils. And Dr. Shaler, thank you for busting pencils with us here today and for all the work you do.
It's been awesome. It's great to meet you, Dr. Johnny, and Jacob, great to see you. Thanks so much for your gracious hosting. It's been a blast.
And now it's time for your moment of Zen. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. Thank you for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session today. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at BustedPencils.com. And hey, don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with homerooms, Class in Session, and always loads of fun to wrap up the work week on Fridays with producer Jacob's Choice episodes every Friday. And listen up, Pencil Busters. You can absolutely always catch us on the Saturday broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.